Hi,
Hello.
is that Carol?
It is, yes.
Hi, it's Francesca from INS Law calling about your Scottish Redress Scheme application.
Hi,
Are
hi.
you, is now a good time to talk?
It is, yes.
Yep, fab. So before we begin, I just need to confirm some details for data protection. So would I be able to confirm your full name, please?
Yes, it's Carol Ann Austin.
And what's the title?
At Miss.
And were you known by a different name at all before or during care?
No.
No, no problem. Okay, and your date of birth?
It's the 11th of the 9th, 1967.
Perfect. And then your current address?
It's flat 7 of 7 Grosvenor Road in Scarborough, and that's YO11 2LZ.
YO11 2LZ.
That's correct.
Yep. And would I be able to take the name of the GP surgery you're currently registered with?
Yes, it's Lawrence House on Fallsgrave Road in Scarborough. I'm not sure of its postcode.
That's okay.
And it's Haxby Group, if that helps, then it's Haxby Group Medical Centre.
Ah, yeah, perfect. And would we also take the names of your mother and father?
Yes, my mother's name was Louise. Well, my mum and dad divorced, and my mum remarried. But my initially it was Louise Austin and
Yeah.
Charles Austin, but my mum later became Louise Fraser.
Okay, so regarding the name that would have been on any of your care records, so would it be Austin or Fraser?
It would be Fraser from my mum, yeah, Louise Fraser.
And do you recall the address that you were in prior, so before you were placed into care, so where you lived with your parents?
Yeah, yes, I do. It was, I think it was 58 Hermitage Crescent. I might be wrong on the number, but it was definitely Hermitage Crescent, and that was in Coatbridge, North Lanarkshire.
So we've got ML54MB, if that rings a bell
Yeah,
at all to you.
that's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
very much. Yeah, definitely ML5. Yeah.
So, and just to add a layer of an extra layer of security to your application, so would I be able to get a password from you? So if anyone then calls you regarding the redress scheme and they can't provide the password, you know it's not us.
Yeah, that's fine,
Yeah.
uh-huh.
What would you like your password to be?
Could it be Loki Dog? So that's LOKI
Yep.
DOG.
Perfect. And in regards to contacting you, so it's usually via telephone, email, and text message. Are those all okay?
They're fine, yes.
Yep. And the email I have on file for you is carolannaustin67@msn.com. Is that right?
Yeah, that's an old one. I've got a newer one than that, but I do still use the MSN one, but it's ancient.
Yep.
That's a very old one.
Would you like me to update it?
Yeah, maybe it'd
Yeah.
be better. Yeah, it's
Yep.
carol.austin
Yeah.
2021@gmail.com.
I was going to say, I haven't seen an MSN one for a long time.
I know that's such a long time ago. It gives my age away, that
Saw it then and I was like, wow.
one. I know, I know.
Exactly.
I'm loyal, if nothing else.
Right, fab. Okay. Okay, so just make sure now I've got everything and then move on to the call. Okay, perfect. So obviously with this application now, so I appreciate discussing experiences connected to it can be quite difficult and upsetting. So please take your time during this call. And if you need a break at any point or further explanation or you want to continue another time, just let me know, okay?
Oh, they'll do. Yeah, thanks.
And do you suffer from any communication difficulties or any vulnerabilities that you wish to make me aware of?
I do suffer from MS and depression and anxiety.
Okay. So just take your time.
Yeah, I'm good at the minute. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you need a break at any point, just let me know, okay?
I will. Thank you very much.
Okay. So the purpose of the call today, so I'll explain the Scottish Redress Scheme to you, explain your options, explain how INS Law operates, discuss funding and fees, and then gather some more information to assess whether and how we can assist you. Is that all okay?
Yes, yeah.
So the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. So it's important that you know all of your options before you decide whether to instruct us. So you're entitled to apply directly to the Scottish Redress Scheme by yourself without a solicitor, or you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme. So they're paid directly by the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application. So
right.
Under that government scheme, those solicitors can receive up to £2,000 plus the VAT from the government for assisting you, regardless of whether you're successful or not with the application.
Okay.
So INS Law doesn't operate under that scheme, so we don't claim the government-funded fees. So if you decide to instruct us, you'd be choosing private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement. So we would not be paid by the Scottish Government for assisting you.
Okay.
So at this stage, would I be able to confirm that you've not instructed any of the solicitors to act for you in relation to an application at all? No?
No, absolutely no.
Okay, so our agreement, so we operate on a no-win, no-fee basis. So if your application is unsuccessful, you pay nothing. And if you withdraw your application on our advice, you pay nothing. So
okay.
If you are successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees consist of basic charges based on the time spent and a success fee. However, the total fees, they're capped. So it's no more than 16% plus the VAT of a redress payment. I think it works out about 19.2. So you'll never pay more than that agreed cap, okay?
Okay, yeah.
And so do you have any questions for me at all so far?
No, not at all, not so far.
Okay, fab. Okay, so it's important that I make clear as well. So we can't guarantee that your application will be successful or the level of award the scheme may award. So the Scottish Redress Scheme operates on a discretionary basis. And I'll explain that in greater detail during this call as well. So if you decide to instruct us, what we assist with. So during this call, we go through your eligibility to apply to the redress scheme. And we go through the initial application. And then following that, then we gather and review all the evidence. We prepare and submit the final full application. We do all the corresponding with the redress scheme. And then we can advise you on any offer made and assist with any reconsideration or review processes in the scheme as well. So if you're unhappy with the outcome, we can then assist you then with that as well.
That's fine. That's good.
So we'll also explain the statutory waiver if an award is offered, and we'll fully explain it before we decide whether to accept anything. So it is important because accepting an award, it can affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to the matters. So you'd never be expected to accept an offer without fully understanding the consequences. Okay.
That's great. Yeah.
And if you decide to proceed, so you have a 14-day cancellation period after you sign the agreement. So you can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. And if you choose, you can also authorise us to begin work immediately while your cancellation rights still remain. So would you be happy for us to do that?
Yes.
Fab. And then one last thing, then we'll move on to the care settings. So just so we're able to formally act for you, we'll require proof of your identity for verification purposes. So we'll need a copy of photographic ID and then a proof of address dated within 3 months of today's date. So it's to comply with anti-money laundering regulations. So it's what I'll do is I'll send over an email now regarding what we can accept. But it's basically, so do you have a passport or a driving license?
I have a driving license,
Fab. So just a driving license and then a letter then that's been sent to you in the last 3 months.
No problem.
That's fab. So I would say send them to some WhatsApp, but our WhatsApp has gone down for today. which is a bit of a pain.
Oh, typical.
But is what you can do. So if you reply, if you reply to the email with the photos, that's absolutely fine. So it isn't a link, it's just a attach images kind of thing. But yeah.
That's brilliant.
Okay, so just a few more questions and then we'll jump onto the case settings. So have you received any relevant payments before? So any Criminal Injuries Compensation Authority, any advance payment scheme payments, court settlements, anything?
A criminal injuries settlement about 20 years ago. That was from Airdrie Sheriff Court for an assault that happened to me.
Was that during your time in care?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
No, that was as an adult. But that's the only kind of compensation thing I've ever received.
That's okay then, okay. And then, do you have any criminal convictions at all?
No, none, none whatsoever.
Okay. And then, have you been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses?
No.
No. And regarding your application as well, you're able to nominate a beneficiary. So if anything was to happen to you, we'd then get in touch with them and they would kind of take over. So you can do this at a later date if you want, or you can add one now. It's your choice.
I could add my daughter. What information would you need?
Yeah, so we'd need full name, date of birth, and then either an email address or contact number, and then current address.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's doable. So it's Louise McCaffrey.
And how am I spelling?
It's MC, then capital C, double A, double F, E, R, Y.
Perfect. And date of birth?
Is the, is the 27th of the 7th, 1985.
Exactly. And then, do you have an email address or a contact number?
I have. Could you get me Louise's phone number up? I can get her phone number up for you.
Thank you.
Do you want her address?
Yeah, if that's okay.
Yeah. So it's number one, the Glebe, which is G L E B E.
Yeah.
And that's Thornhill in Stirlingshire. And it's FK8 9PF, I believe.
Okay, yes. So that was in Thornhill.
Thornhill, yeah.
Yeah.
And do you want a number?
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
Is 07504.
Yeah. 802. Yeah. 919. I was just trying to find the address. So the FK8 got 3PF.
FK8, 3PF, I believe.
Yeah, perfect.
It's Stirlingshire.
Fab, thank you very much. So moving on to the case settings now. So I've got here that you wrote on the notes you were in Calder House, yeah?
Calder House, yeah.
Yeah. And do you remember how old you were when you were here?
I was 15.
And are there any other case settings or is it just that one, yeah?
Just that one.
Yeah. So 15's 1982.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. Okay, so regarding your time there now, so I just need to take a statement from you, so about your overview, any instance you can recall, and I noticed that you mentioned as well, so that it said that you were safe but others weren't, so witnessing things is obviously also a form of abuse that you went through, psychological, so it counts, so there's sexual, physical, mental, psychological, neglect, If you were mistreated by social services or put somewhere that you shouldn't have been, it covers a lot of things. So don't feel that anything you went through isn't relevant, okay?
Okay, thank you.
It'll cover a lot more than you think, okay? So it says so you were placed here when you were 15.
Yeah.
And what was the reason?
I hadn't been attending school and had ended up at a children's panel. And was ordered, got a order to be there for, I'm sure it was either 3 or 4 months. So I'd went in on the August, I think, was there till the November.
Okay. And what was your time here like?
Initially, when I went in, one of the first experiences that I had that was very troubling was we were put into, the girls were put into like an open shower block, and obviously they were all naked, but we were doused in a white powder, which was supposed to be like a knit powder or a powder that was to make sure that they had no kind of contagious hair, you know, like knits or things like that. But it was just the way it was done for a 15-year-old girl. It was quite harrowing just to stand there, and that the males and females, I think, were both part of this initial, you know, the initial intake of new people. We were in, we were doused in the shower rooms, and before we were taken to our dorms.
She said there was male, so was it male staff, or was it
there was male staff, and female staff, in the place, the boys and the girls were kept separate. It was a two-tier place. And so everything else, you know, the boys and girls only got together, like, at breaks, you know, in tea time and lunchtime and things like that. So, but the male staff were very much part of the girls' dormitory, as well as the females being part of the guys' dormitory. So the staff weren't as segregated as the inmates, if you like.
Yeah. So obviously it would have made sense. Boys and girls are split up, so the staff are also split now.
Yeah, but the staff weren't,
yeah.
It's a very strict place to be in. Very structured, which, you know, initially I actually found for, you know, quite a troubled teen for one reason and another. And initially I actually really enjoyed the process of,
you know,
apart from that, I enjoyed the routine of it. But there were girls less able, I think, than myself, that were unable to ward off any bad behaviour from male. And I did witness full-on sex while we were out on a day out to the Camps of Hills between one of the male supervisors and one of the younger girls. Who, she was younger than me at the time. She was only about 14. But her background had been prostitution. I think she had got involved in prostitution at a very young age. But the abuse just continued for her.
So where was it? And you said it was like on a camping trip.
It was a day out from Calder House. The place, they had a minibus, and we went up to the Camps of Hills in Scotland. A lovely sunny day, and we really trekked up quite a dangerous climb. Actually, I was pretty scared, but when we got to the top, We were sitting having a picnic, and I'd noticed that there were two people missing from the group, and just curiosity led me to go and look for this girl, and I found her in a full sexual activity with the male supervisor, which was pretty shocking, actually. You know, we were all made to believe that we were bad. We were all bad girls. That's the reason we were in there. We weren't conforming to the rules, and we were always made to feel that we were bad girls. It wasn't a supportive place for the girls.
No.
I actually ended up with a boyfriend, if you like, in there.
Yeah.
And I remember his name well. His name is Mark Dolan, and he was from Castlemilk in Glasgow. And when I left in the November, they used to, again, the same minibus, they used to do a regular weekly visit to the local swimming baths in Bells Hill.
Yeah.
And while he was there, him and one of the younger boys from the place, they actually ran away, and they came to my hometown of Coatbridge and called me, and the kind of three of us went on the run for about 3 weeks, where I kind of shielded them as best I could, because they were terrified to go back, to what they might face, and of course that involved the police and everything like that. Now that ended up a massive big police investigation, and they actually followed me and followed where I'd went, and I led them straight to Mark and this other boy whose name I can't remember. But it was just, even that, when I think about it now, the lack of security and the fact that was able to happen, the two boys that were in care, that were able to, kind of abscond like that. It, when I look back now as an adult, you think things were certainly wrong within the place when that type of thing was going on. You know, there was sexual abuse going on. There was a bit of physical abuse. So there was quite a bit of bullying from staff to us, You knew if you'd got on the wrong side of someone. The treatment wasn't always great. It was very, it was very scary at times.
Okay, so what I've done now, so I've just written everything that you've shared with me just up into a statement. So is there anything that you'd like to add at all? So you'll get a chance to complete like a full witness statement further down the line. So I'll be following, getting all the records and things. But is there anything that you'd like to add into this one for now?
I think that's probably about it from my experience.
Okay.
It was the shock, I think, of knowing that was going on, and then obviously the fear you carried of it not happening to you.
And obviously you see it happen, you're like, that could be me. So it's living
exactly.
Constantly scared. Okay, so what I've done now, so I've just written that up into a statement. Okay, so the next thing to speak about is the type of application that can be pursued under the redress scheme. So there's two types. So there's the first one, which is the fixed payment of £10,000, and it's a fixed amount award regardless of the severity of abuse you suffered. Or there's the individually assessed payment of up to £100,000, which is decided by a closed panel dependent on the level. So based on previous awards made by the scheme and everything you've shared with myself today, I'd like to pursue the individually assessed one for you. Is that okay?
Yes, that would be fine,
So you won't be required to have any meetings with the redress scheme in person or anything like that. So we'll provide the the detailed witness statement on your behalf to the scheme, okay?
Uh-huh.
So the next step now is for me to send over the documents for you to have a look at. So it'll contain a client care letter and a conditional fee agreement. So that's all the information I shared with you. And then a letter of authority then, which then gives us permission to access records on your behalf. And then a part one and a part two, which will be all of the information you shared with me. So you're under no pressure or obligation to proceed. If you'd like, I can send these over whilst I'm on the call with you and then assist that's you in any way.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'll send those over to you now. So they should come to you via email and text message.
Uh-huh.
So I've just sent those now.
Yep.
There we go. So it'll say, like, please click the link below to sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you open that link, as I mentioned, so the first ones, it'll be the client care letter, the conditional fee agreement, and the letter of authority. And then on the bottom of the screen, there'll be a yellow box that says a number with fields required. And when you click on that box, then it'll take you to the first page that needs a signature. So it'll be like a tap to sign box. So you can either draw it with your finger or you can type it.
There we go.
Yep. And then there's about four of those you have to do. So if you click the yellow. Yeah, if you click the yellow again and then it'll take you to the next one. And then once you've done all those four, then if you scroll, does it say you've got any left? Or
yeah, I think I have. Yeah. I don't know what I did with my phone there. It kind of jumped.
That's okay. It can be a bit fiddly.
Yeah, sorry, it's just me. I'm not great technology-wise, but...
That's okay. That's why I was like, I'd always stay on the phone again. Because it took me a while to figure out how to do them, so now I'm like, what?
Right, here we go. Right. Oh, dear. Hold on. Wait a minute, man. I think it's my phone. My finger's too fast for my phone. That's what it is. And I keep losing the...
That's okay. That's what that yellow button is, honestly, a saviour, because it just takes you straight back.
Oh, of course, the yellow button, right. Yeah, got it. Oh, thank you for that.
That's okay.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. I missed that at the beginning.
That's okay. Right. That's okay.
Me on the last one now. There we are. That signature. Right, I think that's them all done.
And then if you scroll then all the way down to the very, very bottom so you can't scroll any further. That little tick box then that says I confirm my signature is legally binding or something. You should be able to tick that then. And then you can press the submit signature.
Submit.
Yeah. And then it'll come up with a page then that just says verifying, authenticating, all that.
Yeah.
As it just works through each one.
Signature completed, yeah.
Yeah, they've all come through to me now. That's brilliant. Thank you very much. So the only thing now would just be the proof of identity. So the driving license and the letter.
Yeah,
so I sent the email beforehand, so I can send it again if you'd like, or just reply to the email you just clicked on then, just with the photos, and I'll get those added to your application. But do you have any questions for me at all?
No, not at this point.
No. That's fab. Well, thank you very much for your time and for trusting me with everything. And it's what I'll do now. I will get your application sent over to Redress. And then we should hear back from them within a couple of weeks with an application number. And then as long as we have then your proof of identity documents on file with the application number, we'll be able to start gathering then all of your records and things. So we'll stay in touch as much as possible, keep you updated along the way. But if you have any questions or anything in the meantime, you're more than welcome to call or WhatsApp. Hopefully it's back working today now. At any point, you just feel free to call me or email or text, okay?
That's absolutely fine.
That's that. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks very much for your call.
Okay, thank you very much. Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.